As we come to a close for this year, we're taking a look back at the stories, the really big stories that made really big headlines in 2012. Earlier in the show, we looked back at the auto industry. Well, let's now turn to politics. For that, we bring in two people whom I think quite literally live and breathe politics, Zoe Clark and Rick Pluta. They co-host It's Just Politics here on Michigan Radio. Welcome, you two.
Hello.
Hi.
Well, I think we have to start with the most recent big story, quack, quack, and that would be lame duck.
make the jokes here.
I think you can't not start this without talking about lame duck. It was an insane couple of weeks for lawmakers, for the people that watched the media. And it will be really interesting to watch in the new year all of the laws that were passed. We're still waiting for Governor Snyder to decide whether to sign or veto them. But, I mean, the citizens of Michigan have a lot to look forward to, too, in the new year as we sort through what, Rick, more than 280 laws passed in those 3 weeks?
Not a record, but perhaps nearly a record, and certainly a lot. This is probably the most consequential December since the mid-1990s, and Proposal A just kind of upended the school funding system.
Absolutely.
And as evidence of that, look at all the things that got shoved to the back burner in terms of people's attention. The Blue Cross overhaul, even the new emergency manager law.
Yeah.
We had bills dealing with abortion, local property taxes, and even gun control was one of those pieces of legislation that was getting secondary attention compared to right to work until that horrible event in Connecticut on Friday, one day after the legislature adopted some new concealed weapons standards that would allow them in, among other places, schools and daycares.
And all of this, of course, possible because the GOP had that nice, juicy majority in both the State House and Senate.
Right. One of the reasons why we saw so much activity in this lame duck session is because while the Senate majorities will remain the same, House Republicans, they'll remain in the majority, but they'll have five fewer seats in that majority, which means that they've got fewer lawmakers who can take a walk on controversial votes.
We certainly cannot talk about lame duck without really addressing the biggest story coming out of it, which of course is right to work, Zoe.
Yeah, I mean, just the historic nature, of this policy. I mean, Michigan of all states, 24th state to become right to work, second in the Midwest after Indiana. Of course, we just saw thousands and thousands of protesters descend onto the Capitol. And then there's the political nature of it, that for months, years, really, since Governor Snyder took office saying that right to work was not on his agenda, and then within a really short time during lame duck, it went from it's on the agenda to a week later him signing it.
So, Rick, what was the politicking behind all of that?
Well, what happened was really, you know, the governor said on Detroit Public Television that this was a failure of relationships, that clearly, you know, he and Republicans in the legislature had failed to establish the kind of dialogue he wanted with unions in order to keep it from coming to this juncture. The governor would have liked to have seen Proposal 2, the bargaining rights ballot proposal, not go on the ballot, and the unions sort of thumbed their noses at him over that. And, you know, what you saw, especially a lot of it was from West Michigan, a lot of conservatives, Dick DeVos among them, who saw the rejection of Proposal 2 as their opening, their opportunity, while the legislature still had these commanding Republican majorities, to come in and make Michigan a right-to-work state and really force that decision upon the governor.
You have to wonder what not on my agenda really does mean this day. Do you think that this has really
hurt? I
don't
think we'll be hearing a whole lot of that in the future.
The not on my agenda? Do you think this has hurt One Tough Nerd's credibility?
Well, I think that's the issue now. I mean, it was the same with the helmet law repeal. It's fine to say it's not on your agenda. For a while, I think it made people believe then that for some reason that would mean he would veto if it did come to his desk.
Right.
And what we're realizing is that's not necessarily what it means. I don't know if it hurts his
much does it matter if it's not on your agenda?
Right. I don't know if it hurts the credibility, but I think it makes people a little more wary when he says that doesn't mean it's not going to happen.
And, you know, I think it does perhaps hurt the governor is, at least in terms of how he's tried to position himself, is he tried to present himself as an apolitical moderate. And so he's kind of gone from that, you know, apolitical centrist to a conservative Republican governor. And we're going to now see him lumped in with Scott Walker in Wisconsin, John Kasich in Ohio. Those were the sorts of governors, you know, real anti-union firebrands. And he's now been lumped in with them. And that's never a place that he wanted to be.
Who would both of you say is the most powerful person in Lansing right now?
Jace Bolger.
Hey.
It's interesting. You would sort of think, right, that of course it should be, or just from reading our civics books in eighth grade, that it's the executive branch, it's the governor or the president. But that has just not been the case. It is totally, I think, and it's not
the
just
House
Rick
Speaker.
And I saying this, it is Republican House Speaker Jace Bolger.
And he was on some mighty thin ice earlier in the year, wasn't he?
Oh, yes.
Oh,
yes.
He came within a few hundred votes of losing his normally reliable, safe Republican seat, in large part because of how House Republicans mismanaged a couple of issues, particularly the Roy Schmidt party switch, which basically turned into an election rigging scheme. And it really, really damaged his credibility. And you would think that, the speaker would have come back to Lansing a little chastened after that experience. And instead, he's running the table.
And then talk about a little, we can't let the year go by without talking about Vaginagate.
So. Well, and I think we bring that up now. Yeah. Because of Jace Bolger, Democratic female lawmakers over the summer trying to speak out against a measure having to do with abortion.
One that was ultimately adopted by the legislature, although in a somewhat amended form.
Yeah, and they were told they couldn't speak on the chamber floor after they used the word vagina.
One of them did.
Yeah.
One of them used vagina, one of them said vasectomy.
Right. I mean, I don't think anyone thought that that word would get so much attention, not just here in Michigan, national attention.
Well, usually before you'd say something like that, we'd at least take like a long pause and think about it, and now we just toss it out.
That's true.
Yeah.
All of that happened over the summer, but we had another very odd summertime story. Former Congressman Thaddeus McCotter
gets the weirdest story of the year title. Congressman McCotter, he didn't have enough signatures, apparently, to get on the August primary ballot. So some members in his staff, now he says he didn't know they were doing this. He has said it was, you know, he was not aware. They cut and pasted out of photocopies signatures, something
and
like
it looks like they may have even done this in
previous elections.
This wasn't the first time.
But the comedy gods have brought you a new gift.
Carrie Bentivoglio.
Teacher, reindeer farmer, Santa helper.
Santa.
Yeah.
So he has come January, will be the congressman that is replacing Thad McCotter.
Well, let's keep this on the election front. Take us back to February. We're in the middle of the Republican primary, and suddenly America's attention is focused on Michigan coming out of the Iowa caucus and the primaries in New Hampshire and Florida. So it looked like the race was between former Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum and former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney, and it seemed like Michigan should have been a pretty easy state for the Bloomfield Hills raised Romney, but certainly not the case, was it, Zoe?
No, totally not the case. I mean, for a couple of weeks, I have to admit, Rick and I were just thrilled. We had so much fun with this. Michigan was in the spotlight. Mm-hmm. National media was here. Michigan really, really mattered.
Yeah.
I mean, Santorum's numbers were looking good. Romney was having a hard time in the campaign, which we saw throughout the year with Romney. He would just sort of have these down spells where he would just put his foot in his mouth.
Mm.
You know, like you said, Cindy, it was sort of thought that Romney would come into Michigan. He would do fine because of the, you know, so-called native son status, his father being former governor of Michigan, George Romney. But it was a super, super tight race.
And you know, the Republican establishment here put so much effort into trying to make it so that it would be a pretty easy Romney win, that it was supposed to show that not only could, you know, he win the state in the primary, but he could also then turn around and win it in November, which would be a huge upending of how presidential elections have worked for decades, that Michigan has gone for Democrats. Instead, it was a tight race, and Republicans even had to change the rules at the last minute to avoid a tie with Rick Santorum. There was real, political cost to switching over one delegate so that Mitt Romney could technically claim a win rather than a tie.
One delegate that in the end just didn't even really matter much.
Yes, because let's talk about Election Day on November 6th.
Well, I mean, I think the oddest thing as we're talking about is that November 6th didn't seem to be that big of of a deal in terms of the status quo here in Michigan. There was so much money from different political action groups, from candidates. And yet, you know, the morning after November 6th, come November 7th, Michigan politics hadn't changed much. We stayed a blue state.
Meet the old boss.
Same as the new boss.
No. I mean, we stayed a blue state in terms of, you know, we went for Obama. We went for Senator Debbie Stabenow. Republicans kept the state house again, like we talked about, lost 5 seats, went to the Democrats. But really, the status quo remained the same after so much time and attention and money being spent.
I mean, certainly the election was very consequential for the lame duck session of the legislature. But beyond that, you know, looking ahead to the coming session, yeah, the same people are in charge.
But the real story had to have been, in Michigan at least, all of those ballot proposals.
Right. It wasn't so much the candidates that made the headlines from the November election in Michigan, but instead all of the ballot proposals. I mean, I think Rick
ballot
and I...
Ballot-palooza.
Right. We did a story about that. 5 proposals, 1 referendum on the state's emergency manager law. All 5 proposals got shot down. Now, voters did, you know, vote to reject the state's super controversial emergency manager law, but everything
but
else
I wonder
went
how
down.
Much, I wonder how much of the emergency manager law going down was just part of people voting no on everything because there was so much.
Well, as we kind of wrap up, let's end with a story that really made huge headlines all year long and will certainly be doing so in the new year. We talked about it, the state's emergency manager law.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of the few pieces of controversial legislation that was not rendered referendum proof.
Right. And by that, what Rick means is that if you pass a bill in the legislature that you don't want voters to be able to repeal, you put money into it, appropriations into it, you make it a budget
bill. We saw that in Right to Work.
Exactly. And so what that does is it doesn't allow voters to repeal it. That's what happened with the emergency manager law passed in 2011. There was not money in it. So it went through this process of finally being able to be repealed. Now, what Rick was mentioning is that now Republican lawmakers, and let's remember, Democrats have done this in the past, too. Mm-hmm. This is not just one party doing this, but Republican
lawmakers.
But
this has certainly been a supercharged effort to take just, you know, every controversial legislation. I think there are 2 or 3 bills in lame duck alone that were given appropriations to avoid having them challenged by referendum.
And these are appropriations to do things like print pamphlets to help voters become more aware of the issue. And then also interesting to note that appropriation, that money doesn't all have to be spent.
It's putting the appropriation in, not actually spending the money.
It.
So you could put in as much money as you want with, you know, an understanding that that's not how much is going to be spent on it. And, you know, you've dodged a ballot challenge.
Right. But obviously, Cindy, you can tell Rick and I can get sidetracked sometimes when we're talking politics. I believe the question was about the emergency manager law.
And especially looking ahead now, because we've got a new one.
Exactly. Voters in November, they said, we don't want this controversial law. Well, okay. So lawmakers said, fine, here's a new law and here's money in it so you can't repeal it. And I really think, Rick, I mean, that this is what we're going to be spending a lot of time on in the new year is looking at this new emergency manager law, particularly as we just see the finances in Detroit continue to be such a huge issue. The politics over, could the governor actually appoint an emergency manager? I mean, this
which
law
seems to be coming more and more inevitable.
Exactly.
In fact, the governor said they're already deciding who might be that emergency manager.
This law, I think, come 2013, is really along, like we talked about, with gun control issues. I think the EM is going to be what we're all watching.
And if you want to look at how things might play out in 2014, look at the statewide races, especially the gubernatorial elections in Virginia and New Jersey, where I think a lot of the themes and tactics that will be tried in 2014 will be tested in those competitive states.
Yeah. And should we look into 2015 too, 2016, just for fun?
2020.
2020. I think we're good. It was quite a year. Rick, Zoe, thank you so very, very much.
Thank you, Cindy.
It's fun.
And as I mentioned, Rick and Zoe probably spend a little too much time thinking about politics, but you can find the fruits of their mental labor online at michiganradio.org, or you can listen to them every Friday afternoon at 1:35 right here on Michigan Radio.